Gentlemen, brothers and sisters, wherever you are on planet Earth or beyond, welcome to Zion Radio, episode number 36. My name is PBH and...
My name's Jack. 2022, first show of the year. We're going in hot, brother.
You had one thing to get right in that show opener there. Simply your name, and you smashed it, bro. You absolutely smashed that. That's all you had to say.
I felt I needed to expand a little bit because it's the first one of the year, so, you know...
Nah, we're off to a good start. That was a good start, that was. That was a good start.
We're going in hot.
Woo! Yes. Yay. So, guys, we know other countries are having difficult times with the C word, which is coronavirus.
Don't mention the C word.
Unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, we're having it all right in England. It feels like it's been pushed as a distant memory. So let's hope the rest of the world is following suit and then we can all party like Boris does at number 10. Because I think it's going to be a good year. Good summer and good winter coming up. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, what are you thinking, bro?
Absolutely, 100%. Summer 2022 is going to be huge. Fingers crossed everywhere.
Yes. Guys, keep your eyes on our socials. We are at PBH and Jack, as I'm sure you're well aware. And we're going to be announcing some very cool shows. We're really excited about very soon. So, Jack,
yeah,
I am looking at a calendar in my hand in my studio.
Yeah, we did the calendar shoot. We got Nick.
Big up to Hell Deep Records. And if you want to find out if me and Jack are actually naked in the Hell Deep Records calendar 2022, you need to turn to May. And first of all, you need to buy one. So check out helldeeprecords.com and definitely recommend one of these calendars. It's very sick. It starts off with a nice little introduction with a massive picture from Tomorrowland. Nice picture of Coma. February is Oliver Heldens.
Oh, by the way, he's looking Oliver, absolutely stush on that picture.
He's like a boss.
Isn't it?
He's like an absolute... It's kind of like a bit of English country vibes going on there. Yeah. With a slight professor look. But that's a slick look.
And a twist of disco.
And fire beats. And Beowulf. And I won't go all the way to the end. We've got Sky in there as well. Mr. Belt and Wessel and Gorp, our fellow UK brother. Many more as well, guys. So make sure you check that out. It's a sick calendar. Heldic Records. Mad love to you guys for including us in that. Thank you so much.
We have a brand new single to drop, don't we?
Right, guys. This is our brand new single. It's our first up of 2022. It's featuring our soul sister from up north in the UK, Sash Sings. We are back with her. The last single we did with Sash was, of course, Lose Control on Hell Deep Records, which has been absolutely flying and still is. We've done another with Sash. We love this, guys, and we would love your feedback. Make sure you hit us up on the socials. Turn it up. This is PBH and Jack featuring Sash Sings. It's called Jealousy, and it is out now.
Don't do that. You're moving, dancing next to me. You're moving, dancing next to me. When your body's dancing next to me. You're moving, dancing next to me. When your body's dancing next to me. You're moving, 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 dancing children of house music. Zion Radio.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on the phone, somewhere between Amsterdam and the German border, Weedams. How are you, bro?
What is up, guys? Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Very well, yeah. Thanks for joining us. Because it's been a long time since we've seen each other. We had a knuckle bump at ADE one year, didn't we? On a party bus.
And I was like a little kid when I met you. I think I was like 17 or... No, I think I was like 16 or 17 years old.
Wow.
It was like my first or my second ADE.
Crazy.
So you can imagine. And I remembered when I wanted to... I asked you like the question if I could join you with my USB. And my USB broke or something happened. And I didn't have my 3.5 jack. And you said to me like... Oh, next time you can keep this one, but this is one. This is like your mother. You need to keep this, like the converter.
Well, we've had our eye on you for a while because I've seen your bootleg and mashup packs coming through, and then we have been smashing your remix of Love Tonight out in like every set we're playing, and I'm just like, we've got to get this guy on the show, man, because he's fucking killing it right now. So how long have you been producing for? Because you're still quite young, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 23 at the moment. I've been producing for about, I would say, 7 years.
Wow.
Really went in all the styles when I actually fell in love with the Afrojack Dirty Dutch kind of style, and then after that Hardwell. that was really what I wanted to do, but after that it got too Big Room, but I was too shit to produce a Big Room at the time. Then I got into Future House, and now Tech House came, and that was like the perfect blend between, because I thought Future House was pretty I would say interesting with funky bass lines, and Tech House is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Like a good kick, some good drums, and a bass line isn't that complicated.
Yeah.
And, I guess music over there goes in waves, because in England, the Future House thing was, it was probably around for like maybe a year or so, but I think we're quite snobby over here with musical genres, aren't we, Jack, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Future House came and went pretty quick.
And so what would you say is the kind of the vibe over there at the minute? Is it more tech house or bass house or future house, or where is it?
I would say it is more tech house, but I think the Dutch scene overall is really hard to put an eye on because so many things are happening. But I would say tech house is really the thing that's going on right now. But future house for as my opinion, I just can't even listen to it, even though the mashups of future house made me to a point where I am right now. But it's pretty weird because now people are still asking like, can you play that one mashup? And I'm like, no, man, I'm over that. I can't even hear like the future house kind of thing.
Yeah, we kind of
did. I think it's the same with Big Room.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We were making very much the Don Diablo Hexagon sound for a long time, and we saw the music kind of moving more towards tech house, and I think we just enjoy making tech house a little bit more as well. It's kind of like what we like
to put
out.
Music gets samey, done it after a while. Anything, even if apart from drum and bass, because we do like drum and bass, and that we never seems to get bored of that. But it just evolves. It's healthy to evolve, like eating different food, producing different styles of music. It evolves very quickly in the UK, I think. We're quite different to Holland over here.
But what you said with the genre of what's popular right now, I would say for the Dutch crowd, if you never played for a Dutch crowd, it's the hardest crowd you can get, because you've got a lot of like hip hop acts, and they are doing like the ass shaking things. And that works in the pubs. And if you play too much club music here in Holland, people are eventually gonna leave because it isn't too commercial.
Really?
Really. I think that places like Amsterdam or like really club nights, I would suggest that is pretty much the thing where you can do your thing as an artist. But like, and overall, I even see like headliners do like more commercial stuff because people aren't dancing. And that's what I think is pretty sad about Holland. Sometimes I think like, just enjoy the music and don't be so bitchy about the only commercial stuff and the butt shaking things. Like,
crazy. What is the situation with clubs in Holland right now? Are you open back up now?
No.
Really?
It's been rough. Yeah.
What you need to do is come over here, get a job at Downing Street with Boris. And Boris is having parties. He needs DJs every week. So get yourself over here.
To be honest, I think with every country, I think every country is pretty jealous about the UK right now. But I don't know, like... for every country. I think with Corona, it's really unpredictable. I agree on that. But we invested, like our government invested about 300 million or like an insane amount of money to make sure if like the events, if they are capable enough to do with Corona. So they tested that and it was safe. So in the summer, they said like, okay, we're gonna open up. We tested it, it's safe. We went open for 1 week and then they closed everything down again. Like for example, a festival, what was just ready. And the next day, for example, like Friday, they closed out all the events, and the event needed to happen on Saturday, but the event was like ready to bring out people, and they just could close everything down, not any money towards the festival organizers. So for clubs, for nightclubs, it's been closed for 2 years. So that's like, I don't know, I live like close, I live like in where I really come from. That's like close to the German border. I'm a resident at a club there, and he's paying like 4,000 a month for his power and everything. And he's saying to me like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And the nightclubs, they need to have it for the months that are happening right now. Because in the summer, you're competing with the festivals.
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen. And
That's real talk. Yeah, clubs need the winter season to make money and to be there. Yeah, because like you say, it's nightclubs. We love them, but they take a kicking in summer because there's so many festivals worldwide. That's real talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really bizarre. Like for every time, I think like for example, right now you got like 250 people on intensive care, and we got about 1,200 beds, and they're still saying like, no, we can't do it. It's too dangerous. So there's like no explanation for why it can't happen, but nobody's doing a thing.
Yeah.
And that's what's really stressing out everybody, for the artists, for the light people, everyone.
I genuinely thought Holland would be the first one that opened up, because I saw you guys doing those test events before anybody else. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, they're thinking forward. They'll be open long before anyone.
Yeah.
And then they shut after like a week. It's crazy. I mean, it's some of the clubs in the UK have suffered, even, you know, despite us being open a lot sooner and for longer. You know, there's loads of clubs that have closed and not reopened. You know, it's pretty scary stuff, man. But yeah, we are pretty we're pretty lucky to be in the UK right now, that's for sure.
We don't want to dwell on COVID too much, do we? But it's nice to, because obviously it feels in England like there is no COVID now. Like, you know, we've got the diaries opening up, there's gigs coming in, which is really nice. Yeah. And but then to speak to, you know, friends across the world who are still in lockdown. I think Italy's still really bad as well. Got friends there DJing and there's just nothing going on. I think this year will be finished. I think this year will just be something we all have to live with.
Yeah, I really hope so.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing in the UK. Everyone's doing live streaming. You did the Stereohype live stream recently, haven't you?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah, pretty good for when I started with Tech House. Like, James Hype was the god for me, honest, in that genre. So he started following me a year into Tech House when I started with the edits. And then he asked me to do the live stream, which is, like, for me, it was like, like a pretty big step towards a guy where I look up to. But the live stream was really cool. And as a matter of fact, I'm playing this Saturday as well, one live stream. But I recorded it just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm flying to Croatia Saturday morning.
Nice.
So there will be a new live stream.
Is that for Stereohype, or is that for...
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
cool,
as well.
Oh, make sure you check that out. Yeah. You've been at Slam as well, haven't you? Doing some stuff for Slam FM.
Yeah. I stumbled up with a teacher, because I went to a music school here in the Netherlands, in Utrecht. And I always had like good contact with him, and he connected me with a guy that worked at Slam, and we were actually preparing something for the mix marathon, just an hour mix, and you will hear that on Friday. And all of a sudden on a Tuesday I got a call from him, and he said like, there are two DJs sick and I need to cover up the DJ show of tonight, and they are looking for a DJ if you want to come over and play for 20 minutes.
Nice.
And I was like, oh yeah, of course.
That is.
But I needed to drive for like 2 hours, so I was like having dinner, stepping in the car, and I was DJing, and I was back home about like 10 or 11. So the speed of it all was like pretty bizarre.
How's it been DJing in front of a camera instead of real people? Because we did some live streams in lockdown last year, and unfortunately, because me and Jack don't live together, I was doing the live streams on my own, and I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I'm in my home studio on decks, there's a camera in front of me, and I'm getting goosebumps. And like, these were pre-recorded streams as well. So we did one for Armada, and I'm there in my studio and I'm like, I'm really getting into it. And I got goosebumps DJing to myself on my own with a camera in front of me.
Really?
Created. Yeah, bro. Yeah. I think that's how much I was missing DJing. Was it the same for you or?
For me, it was pretty cool to see people from the other side of the world checking you out live. That for me was pretty cool. But I was already doing that, but I didn't feel like the connection with the crowd. And for me, that's like the most important thing when you're DJing. It's about unity. It's about feeling the music, the love. And I don't know. I also think like with those live streams, you are really triggered to tune in at that moment. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. And I didn't like the whole approach of being in a camera, what I said. Like, I just like to be in a sweaty club with people. We're all feeling the same, the subwoofer.
Hell yeah.
So for me, I don't like it, but I can get the point where you do like it and you get energy from it. Yeah. But that's not for me.
Well, over lockdown, there wasn't any choice. But obviously, I think anyone would take clubs or festivals over having to do live streams, for sure. Because just the vibe is so different. So different.
Yeah.
I've got to ask, where did the name We Dams come from? It's an unusual
name.
It's
like, yeah. I think that's like the most asked question in my entire life.
We need to ask it, man. It's got to be done.
Yeah, no problem. I was in a shower and this is really what happened. And I saw a meme online with the word damn in it. And I don't know. I think it's from Eddie Murphy or something.
Right.
And they're doing like the damn. And I was like, is there a DJ name with the name damn in it? And I was like, no, not really. So you got like those Heart, Well, Afro Jack, and I was
technically that would be spelled D-A-Y-M-N if he went damn.
Exactly. But I was like, We Damn, and I was like, that doesn't really sound that cool. And I was like, We Dams, and it sounded like We Dancing, We Dance.
Oh,
We
right.
Dams. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
But I never had like the intention of keeping it for such a long time. Till I came to a point I had like 10,000 subscribers, and I was like, oh, it's getting pretty good. But now I got to the point where I get that, where I have that much attention, that it's really tricky, or I wouldn't say tricky, but harder to change your name because everybody recognizes now.
Yeah, we just did the same because our name was PBH and Jack Shizzle. And the Shizzle part comes from a long, long story from a long, long time ago. But we always wanted to kind of shorten it and make it a little bit snappier. So we just dropped the Shizzle part. But the logistics behind doing that, from changing all the names on Spotify to, it was a nightmare just to drop one name off the back end of a name.
It was Jonas Blue actually kind of pushed us to do that because he always said, you won't, he was straight talking. He's a lovely guy, Jonas. And he just said, you know, you won't have a chart hit. He said, you guys are making some amazing music. You're not going to get a chart hit with Shizzle in your name. We were just like, yeah, done, because we thought about it. And when Jonas said it, we were just like, yeah, done. That's it. Cool. Mm-hmm. Done.
Yeah.
So next question for you, bro. What inspired you to do take on that amazing track by Bob Sinclair and kind of flip it? Because we really love what you've done with it. So for anyone listening, you just done an amazing rework of Bob Sinclair's World Hold On from 2006, the original was. And you've brought it back up to life. So where did that come from?
To be honest, like the track you get these tracks where you've scrolling down to your Spotify and was in a playlist and I heard this track and I saved it. And I was always thinking about, like some tracks I wanted to keep and maybe in the future I will do something with it. But I came across to a video of Fisher. He played it at Manchester or someone else. And he played it in a hall with 3,000 people, everybody had lights up, and he played the original. And I was like listening to it, and I felt like the whole vibe and the harmony of the track. And I was like, okay, something needs to happen with it. And the lyrics of the track, World Hold On.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's somewhere grabbed me, and I thought like this track needs to be needs to get a VIP version right now because we are in a situation that is not that good for anyone.
Like there's a great story behind that track, isn't there? You know. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Dwayne Harden, one of the writers of that track, on our show a while ago. I'm sure he's heard it. Yeah.
Definitely. I was just about to say, if Bob Sinclair's locked in, he needs to hear it and sign it because it's a banger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know Dwayne Harden? He was the singer on Armin van Helden. You Don't Know Me.
Yeah.
Amazing guy. We had him on the show a few months ago. Amazing guy to talk to. And he actually spoke about when he was co-writing that track, World Hold On.
Insane.
So I thought it'd be a cool idea to send it, man. Unless he Make sure it's heard.
You Don't Know Me is actually my favorite in the top three of the best house tracks out there.
Yeah, we had this discussion with Dwayne. It's like, how does it feel to be part of like one of the greatest dance tracks of all time? And he has a whole discussion about it.
Yeah.
You have to listen back, man. It's a good show. I don't know which episode number it is, but it's worth a listen, brother. So talk us through your production setup. I know you've got a nice studio you've got there. I think you just in the last year, you've set up a new studio. Talk us through what you have in there, and you know, because you kept things quite minimal, haven't you?
Yeah, I am a guy who keeps it minimal because I, for example, also in my DAW when I'm working, I switched over to Ableton in the last 2 years.
Nice.
And from that point, I said like, okay, I don't want to have too many plugins. I only want Serum, 5 plugins. I want 10 packs. And then that's also what I did with my studio. And to be honest, I had some more plans to make it even bigger. The reason why it's so minimal, because we are in a lockdown, so there's not that much money to spend on a studio. I'm sorry. But it's actually two rockets from Car... I don't know how to pronounce that.
K-R-K.
Rockets from K-R-K, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a music. It's the complete from Native Instruments, the complete audio 2.
Yeah.
A piano, which I never used, to be honest. And it's a Nexus 2 set because I'm more of a DJ than a producer guy. And that's actually. And I got the Rode mic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's all you need, dude. I think it's important to point out that you can literally make a worldwide hit on a laptop on a beach. You don't need... Yeah. All the fancy studio. What we have here, for example, is like, it's just a luxury. It's not a necessity. You know, you could do the same thing we do here with just a laptop and some headphones if you really want to. It's incredible. And obviously, it's working for you because you're knocking out some fucking bangers, man.
Thanks, man.
It's working well.
For example, like the time we're living in right now, like for the plugins and everything that gets online that much, I always say, like, also with DJing, whatever you do, it's about the chef, not about the kitchen. It is like the chef is making the ingredients and is making the flavors come together. And you can have a kitchen of like 1 million euros, but if it doesn't compete with your creativity, it doesn't matter. Like, it happens what happens in your head. You need to get it in your laptop and in your DAW.
Well, I was going to ask you, if you had to live with just one synthesizer for the rest of your life, which would it be? But you've already answered that because you've already minimized what you're doing. I went down a road of like downloading and acquiring like every single plugin and synth in the world ever, and only using 5% of them. So when I kind of switched to my new Mac Pro we got here, I kind of did the same thing you did and just
the hoarder,
minimized everything and got rid of all the things I never use and just tried to concentrate. I think it's important for any up and coming producers to just concentrate and learn just one synthesizer at a time. Really learn it. Really learn how it works. Don't you think?
Yeah, we had actually at the school where I was, I had like one lesson where we talked about synthesizers, and for 1 year long we learned everything about Serum. So for me, that was really, I think that is the reason why I still love it that much. But I don't know, I think Serum is, for my opinion, the best out there.
But
I also use like loose samples. For example, the sub that you hear in the Sun Goes Down remix is also a sample, but just with saturation of Ableton. I also love to use only stock plugins from Ableton because they're that good.
Yeah.
Are you guys using Ableton as well?
Yeah. We've been on Ableton for a few years. We did the same thing as you. I went from like Reason, Cubase, Logic, and then Ableton like 3-4 years ago. And I've never opened another DAW since then. It's just so amazing. What did you use before Ableton?
FL Studio.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it was too complicated for me because my laptop crashed every time when I finished, finished the track, it always crashed. And I think the automation in Ableton is 10 times better instead of having 115 tracks and just searching where the automation was of that one track.
I think anyone who's using Logic or any of those slightly over more complex DAWs for doing things like recording huge bands, if you're wanting to just make electronic dance music, Ableton is... For me, the king. It's so streamlined, it's so efficient, it does exactly what it needs to do. It even does things in the background that you don't even realize it's doing. It just does things for you just to make your workflow so much easier. Highly recommend.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Workflow is like 100%.
Yeah, It's amazing. And
it's
Ableton,
so fast.
Ableton 11 now, the things they've added in there, oh my God. The things I've been begging for years, and it's just it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's getting better and better.
yeah, absolutely.
If you have two milestones for 2022, what would you say they want to be? Two things you really want to accomplish this year?
Ooh, big question.
Giving more a focus on original tracks, because that's the thing where I've been struggling with the last 2 years, because I wanted to do original stuff, but the VIPs were getting that much attention, so I needed to keep up. But I would say a milestone will be releasing at least 5 tracks and have like 1 million streams on Spotify. That I need to have that this year.
Nice.
And the second one is getting back to DJing and really do some cool shows, because a lot of things got canceled, and having like, I had like the milestone in 2020 was having 50 shows, but then Corona came, so let's just try to keep the 2020 spirit in it for 2022.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can catch 50 here in the Netherlands, but otherwise
cool.
I just have to book a flight and come to the UK.
2022, we dams is coming for you.
I'm definitely confident the Spotify one's going to happen, and I'm sure the second one will as well, bro. So let's get this year. So we dams, thank you for hanging out with us, brother.
You've got
a track to play for us now, I believe. So we'll pass the turntables over to you. Where are we going?
Thank you. Yeah, this is my new track, A Dream. It will be released in a few months. It's groovy tech house with a cool piano blend.
Dial Radio.
I think I'm gonna go and pop my nose. The moment is eternity. And now it's just a dream.
Quiero abrazarte al despertar. Abrazarte al despertar.
Don't Jack.
Yeah.
is Zion Radio's Track of the Month.
Massive thank you once again to Weedams for joining us on the phone.
Yeah,
that was
a good
lot of fun to hang out. Yeah. Let's hope we can clink a beer at a show sometime in the not too far future. Thank you, brother.
This is
Track of the Month time. Yeah. Guys, we get great digging here. This is where we get to dig, find music. It's generally new, sometimes it's old, but it's just two tracks, one for myself, one for Jack, and they've just really stood out when we've heard them. I'm excited for yours, Jack, because I have no idea what it is.
It's a beast.
You always bring the heat.
It's a beast.
Yes, bro.
What have you brought?
So am I going first?
Absolutely.
As always, I guess.
Always, yeah.
So this is something I think we should all listen to and enjoy the full 3 minutes 35 of this amazing record. This is by the very talented Emily Nash, and it's called Garden.
PBH's Track of the Month.
Gone to the garden, darling, I'm waiting for you. Here I will sit in the moonlight and I'll burst. Gone to the garden, darling.
Sure, where I heard that, I think it was kind of like daytime radio one or somewhere, and it just went into my Shazam, and I was like, "Oh, this is nice," and it's been on my playlist ever since. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Stood out like a sore thumb. That one, fresh. Where are we going? Where are we going, brother?
We're gonna go big techie tribal. A few days ago, I was in the gym. I had a Tool Room radio on with our boy Matt Knight, who was actually on the show episode 33, I think. Check that out. And this came on. It was just like, standout, amazing track. It's very much our vibe when we play out live. big, chunky, tribally, cool vocal on it. Will absolutely 100% go off in a club. Love this.
I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, it's by Krussy and it's called Selector. This is so fat.
Jack's track of the month.
Listen. on the falling, but all is sacrificed. Your love for all the night. I try to put up a fight. Can't tie me down.
We'll be right back.
Guys, a massive thank you for you all locking in. It's been good to hang out again, and we will be back next month, and hopefully in the meantime we'll have seen you at a club somewhere in the UK. Excited for that. So Jack, I guess it's my turn for this month's classic of the month.
It is. I'm excited to hear what classic you're gonna bring, man. Bring it.
This is going back to the days when music was pressed on 12-inch records. Ooh. It's an amazing record with a dirty bass line, and I'd quite like us to remake it at some point because it's fucking sick. This is Aerial A9. Turn it up.
Dion Classic.